Well, as you know, Emily Carr was a famous Canadian painter. She was also, something that many of you might not know, she was also a great Canadian short story writer. And in her collection, The Heart of a Peacock, one of Carr's stories is entitled, appropriately for today, Worship. And her story goes more or less something like this. Once upon a time, there was a very nice man, and his name was Robert. Robert loved church, and in fact, he was his church's warden, took collections every Sunday he was there, and he went with his wife Janet and six children. He was such a good guy that he always had lollipops in his pocket for when the kids got too restless. Anyway, Robert's business prospered, and so eventually Robert decided to buy a rundown cabin and some meadowland on the ocean across from a deep, dark forest. He bought the land for a summer camp, a cottage. His wife, Janet, who doesn't much like bugs, doesn't like spending vacations there, but Janet goes along to get along. After a while, Robert feels that his summer camp is missing something. It's missing church. So Robert finds a tiny meadow around a large flat rock surrounded by the dark, dark trees, and he declares that this is where his family will worship. His wife, Janet, is not crazy about the idea because she does not like to sit on the moss. But the children carry a chair for her out to the church in the forest, and she tries. She goes along to get along. When it's finally time to begin worship, Robert opens his mouth and freezes. The trees are red, purple, and recede back and back and back till they're lost in mystery, and crevices in the bright rock are filled with patches of brilliant green licorice fern, and the yellow green of the moss is rich and deep and dotted with pink shepherd's purse and wild blue forget-me-not. Robert freezes among the spirea bushes that have dropped their rich, creamy blossoms all about. He freezes for a long moment and finally snaps out of it, and he whispers with the prophet, God is in his holy place. Let all the earth keep silence before him. But his wife, Janet, says, ooh, it's like a sepulcher in here. The story could perhaps should end on that note. But it contains one more brief scene. Because she has been a good sport, Robert finally builds Janet the cottage that she deserves, a regular, comfortable cottage on the ocean side of the property where the breeze will keep the bugs away. And they fill this cottage with secondhand furniture and dishes and even a secondhand piano. And Janet, of course, also insists on having church in the cottage rather than outside. So they have a service, and after the service, the cottage's second-hand clock strikes 12, and Robert checks his watch to see if it is running on time, and he says, maybe to Janet, maybe to no one in particular, but Robert says, you know, there are as many varieties of worship as there are kinds of timepieces. I think you get the picture. Emily Carr is herself undecided about worship. Sometimes she's with Janet. For years, at the instigation of Lauren Harris, one of the Group of Seven artists who first owned this painting by Emily Carr, Indian Church, under his instigation, Carr explored the most philosophical religion of all, something dry and abstract and complicated and very secondhand, made up of pieces from many other religions. It's called theosophy. And Carr also loved to go to church, to listen to the famous preachers of her day, and in her journals, she often complimented those preachers. Sure, she rejected the heavy, dark boot of strict Presbyterianism, the sort of Presbyterianism that grounds you down with rules and regulations and warnings. But Emily Carr loved Jesus her whole life long, and she was never shy to say so. So on the one hand, church-wise, Emily Carr did understand Janet. And that is why Emily Carr painted the Indian church sympathetically. It's simple, it's unpretentious, it's a white, clapboard church that's It is bright and holy. But Emily Carr also understood Robert. Sure, Robert was happy to do secondhand church in his living room for his wife's sake. But what caught Robert's heart in his throat, what left him speechless, was God in the silent woods all about church. For Carr, the forest is a holy place where, according to the lyrics we just heard, taken from Carr's journal, "Oh, so still were the big woods where I sat. Sound might not yet have been born. Feel their protecting spread, their uplifting rise, their solid, immovable strength. See God in it all. See God in every particle, where everything is in time with everything, and the keynote is God." Indeed, as both Robert and the prophet say, God is in his holy place. Let all the earth keep silent. So where does one go to find God? The Indian church represents Emily Carr's own ambivalent and changing appetites when it came to finding God. For her, God is probably in both places, in fact. She writes in her journal, "Surely the woods are God's tabernacle." But others prepare a tabernacle, she says, for him here and there, in a church, a flower, a vegetable garden, a home, a family. Everyone has his own special tabernacle, says Carr, set aside for God in the place that seems nearest. Still, it is hard to find God if you don't look. The problem with finding God in nature is that most of us have at best a passing acquaintance with true wild nature, and so only a passing acquaintance with the God of nature. Our fake familiarity with nature irritated Emily Carr, who would camp for months in a trackless, never-cut forest. So, for example, Emily Carr wrote, "The loneliness of the forest repels them. The density, the unsafe hidden footing, the dank smells, the great quiet, the mystery, the general mix-up, the tangle, the growth, what may be hidden there, the insect life." And she continues, "In the abstract, people may say they love it, but they do not prove it by truly entering it and breathing its life." We rarely find God in nature, really, since For us, there's very little real nature left close by, at least, as opposed to faux nature that we all know. You know, man-made trails and third and fourth cut woods and cell phone coverage everywhere and lodges and docks and a host of other conveniences in our modern nature, all available from our local outfitter, too. And anyway, even if we do get out to Algonquin Park and away from everyone else, it's always for just a short while, not months at a time, so momentary that the divine silence Carr speaks of doesn't really stay with us. Too many of us are what Carr calls lazy experiencers, says Carr, content with the surface instead of digging down. And so we don't find God in nature much or for long. Meanwhile, fewer and fewer people find God in church too, mostly because we live in an era that is absolutely anti-institutional. We don't trust our priests and their churches. We don't trust our lawyers and their ambulance chasing. We don't trust our politicians and their parties. We don't trust our manufacturers and their artificially induced need for us to buy their products. We are fed up with bank fees. We're fed up with corporate advertising. We're fed up with Fifth Avenue marketing, Hollywood movie moguls. But what can we do about this universal distrust and dislike of institutions? What can we do? Not much. We can't quit the banks because we need a mortgage, and we can't quit living in Canada, for where would we go? We must buy from corporations, otherwise we would starve or go naked. We distrust and dislike institutions and their power, but we can't live without them. That is, we can't live without most of them. You see, there is one voluntary institution that we can leave, one institution that can be a whipping boy and stand in for our distrust of all other institutions. We can leave the church. So there. And we feel good about it. And many do, of course, leave the church. So few of us find God in nature, and these days fewer and fewer of us find God in the church. And this saddens Emily Carr. And so in this painting, she blesses and honors all who search for God, no matter where. For her to refuse such a search, whether it is in nature or a church building, means that your life will be diminished. Your life will be thin and watery, like soup stock without any meat or vegetables. But to seek God, wherever, always, says Carr, to seek God is, quote, life, 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 the divine in us calling to the divine in all else. Amen.